Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? Finally.
They finally gave me my own podcast.
Jerry comes to the Low Blows Network. One of the biggest legends of the Irish wrestling scene, Jerry talks to his wrestling friends and beyond about the hobbies in their lives that they're most nerdy about in Talk Nerdy To Me.
Welcome all you lovely nerdy people out there. How the devil are you all today? This is Talk Nerdy To Me with your host Jerry. And what an episode we have for you this week. Last week I took a little walk into town and went up to Capel Street. I went up to a little known shop by the name of Dublin City Comics. I went in and it was my very first visit to the shop. You know, everyone knows me, I'm a big nerdy guy. And unfortunately, this is my very first visit to the shop. As soon as you walk in, it just takes your breath away in terms of if you're a nerd, it's going to take your breath away. Wall to wall, floor to ceiling, just pure nerdiness. Anything from Star Trek, Star Wars, Transformers, comics, Batman, Superman, Iron Man, Avengers, even a life-size model of E.T. is there. And my God, what a shop. It's absolutely fantastic. Every single nerdy need that you would ever have can be catered for here. I went in and I talked to the main man in there, Jason, and we had just an absolutely fantastic chat. I love doing the show, and sometimes, you know, when you're doing it and you're talking to certain people, you know, it's an interview. Whereas this wasn't an interview for me. This was a chat. And a fantastic chat it was. Me and Jason could have talked for 3 or 4 hours easy, and we probably would have only scratched the surface. But absolutely, absolutely fantastic chat with Jason. We cover everything from his early childhood, how he got into comics, how he got into science fiction, and you just learn so much more. If you've ever been into WC Comics or you've ever heard of Jason, you'll know a little bit about him. But you learn oh so much more. This guy is not only a nerd, he's a massive fan of everything nerdy. Everything from sci-fi, even kung fu and stuff like that. But he's also a mentor, a teacher, and just an all-around amazing person. You're going to learn a lot about him. You're going to learn a lot about the shop. And you're just going to have a great time. I had a fantastic chat. And I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed recording it. I tell you, I definitely think we're going to have Jason back in the show, because my God, we literally did. We only scratched the surface. And unfortunately, I had to cut it off when I did, because he's a very busy man and that's a very, very busy shop. We had a great chat, and of course, coming up this weekend, we're going to have Dublin City Comic Con, or Dublin Comic Con, I should say, is this weekend. Hopefully, still going ahead. There's no mad viruses that are going to stop it going ahead. And it's one of the very first things when you walk into Dublin Comic Con. So one of the very first things you see is that lovely big stall right in the middle of the main room, and it's Dublin City Comics. So here it is. We're going to talk about everything from Jason's childhood to the shop and moving and multiple shops and just the support he's had from everybody. Take a listen. And right now I am here in Dublin City Comics, right in the heart of Dublin City. And
well,
I'm here with
the toilet anyway.
Well, very close to the toilet, yeah. I'm glad there's no smell, Jay.
I made sure when you came earlier on that nobody went in, so there's been 2 days of non-detoxation or decontamination.
Wait, you need 2 days to detox it?
Comic fans and
I'm just going to say that's Doc's fault.
Ah, well, you know, he has his own special toilet. We have our own little session here, so it's a little commune of people. So it's like all things, it's a working environment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
sure it stays working, or else we won't stay working.
Yeah. Well, I'm here now, obviously,
it's
in Dublin City.
What keeps the shop going is the fact that we have somewhere to go.
Well, you need somewhere to go.
Exactly.
You can't just go in a pot. In the corner.
Oh, we actually...
Well, a lot of people could.
Funny story. We actually complained one day we didn't have a pot to piss in. And then one time a customer actually came in and bought something, but actually left their pot on the side of the counter. And it's actually outside there. So we keep it just in case. When someone says, you haven't got pots to piss in, here you go.
I'm going to have a look.
It's around there.
There is a pot.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's left on the counter waiting for him to come back and
Right. Okay. He's probably not coming back.
Ah, well, you never know. He probably didn't realize I was embarrassed by the fact he left his pot.
Well, there
he
you go.
Must call the bottom. We did test it.
Well, obviously, I'm here with you today. I'm going to introduce you now. This is Jay from Dublin City Comics, the main man here in Dublin City Comics.
As you know, Jerry, I'm very shy. I'm not used to these sort of things. So.
Yeah, no, you don't like talking.
No. Anyway, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're standing. I've got a cup of tea. I've got a mug.
It's one of the most unique mugs I've ever seen. I've seen, you know.
That's just me face. Hey-o!
Keep that comedy up. I like that. You've got a Transformers mug here. It's very big.
Oh, yeah, because I have a big mouth, apparently.
I've been told that by many people.
It's a gift from, name them, I won't list. I don't have an idea who it is. We're all fans. One thing keeps us all grounded here, and apart from gravity, is we're all fans here, and we're all collectors ourselves. So that was a gift from Anto and Shell, who work for here, my cousins, and then they work here as well. So that was a gift at Christmas time. So until that falls and smashes, that's my go-to mug.
Well, let's hope, touch wood, it doesn't.
Star Wars mugs, there's Marvel mugs, there's Disney mugs, there's a few DC mugs. You have to try and keep balance here.
Any mug shots?
Not around here, but there's, yeah.
They're hidden.
There's only a few people you need to watch out for the coming in, so that's where the mug shots are.
Well, I suppose you're talking about you being collectors and whatnot, so obviously you are the main man here in Dublin City Comics.
One of the main. There's a team,
yeah. But where did it all begin?
When my dad got jiggy with it, that's like thanks to them for bringing me to the world. I grew up around here in the city centre as well, and so I was one of the kind of kids that I was born at the Star Wars. My dad was collecting the figures. I was born in 77.
Okay.
I was born before the film came out. So my earliest memories has been brought to see it in Harold's Cross up in Harold's Cross, the old what was the cinema? The classic.
Okay.
Cinema. Up there. It's long gone now. I think it's just like a flat piece of ground. It's a bit Alderaan-y at the moment. But so back in the days before internet, before DVD, it's around the time of Betamax and VHS, so we didn't have movies on VHS. So what happened is the movies would be staying on the cinema every so often, or be brought back. So my mum would be out calling out with granny, or just going drinking with my dad, because he wasn't really much into that. He'd go to bring me to the movies. Yeah. So one of my earliest memories is at night time and going to see Star Wars every so often. And then next time, a few years later, it's probably around 1982, we're in my auntie's flat and we're watching Star Wars on the telly. And I was like, is this on telly? Because again, this was a big deal, because it's like Star Wars on telly.
Huge,
I was like, no, it's been recorded on VHS, so we can watch it any time. I was like, oh, I like this. So I was like, back for us, that was film on demand, was going to the big clunky cassette tape. In the machine, waiting 20 minutes for it to rewind, and then watch it all over again, and then recording. Once we could start recording things off TV, so I Star Wars was the first major thing on me. So my dad got me into that, and because he was collecting the figures and using me as an excuse, probably. And so from there, I thought all kids grew up all the Star Wars stuff, and this is what it was. So when I was in went to preschool and all sorts, I had the figures. Boba Fett came with me everywhere. Just the colors just fascinated me of the toy, the mauves, the purples, the reds, and all the rest of it. And then just sitting around drawing, and then through cartoons, Tom and Jerry cartoons, Bugs Bunny and stuff like that as well. And then Battlestar was on TV and all this as well. So I just grew up in a sci-fi kind of environment in my dad's, and then through my auntie, Anto's mother, horror. Age 4 or 5, I was watching American Werewolf in London from behind the couch. So I still remember the zombie scenes and all. It was terrifying. She showed me the original Changeling and stuff like that.
Wow.
And then the Borgen and stuff like that. So anytime Catherine was babysitting me, it was horror movies. And then when anytime I was over my granny's, it was martial arts movies and action movies. So from my auntie, my uncle, my auntie, my dad, and my granny, I got a sci-fi, action, and horror. And then from my uncle, Paul used to babysit me as well, because Catherine and Paul were around like a couple of years older than me, so they'd look out for me.
Yeah.
So got comedy stuff as well. So, and he'd be throwing things in my face like Page Three and the Sun and stuff. Just back when we had that. If you don't know what it is, kids, look that up. But basically, boobs and everything I've been trying to be facing on. He'd be trying to get me in trouble and make me feel awkward. So just growing up, it was just a load of mixture of stuff. And then, as every kid does, you discover yourself. So basically, what happened is I kind of discovered Transformers on my own.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I discovered on my own. Was the toys.
Like myself, yeah. Like
the
myself.
Toys, the cartoon, everything, and the comic. It all came at the same time. It was like a big multimedia campaign. Nowadays, it'd be one of the more successful ones, but we had like DJ Cat, and then we had Wide Awake Club and all that. So 9 o'clock in the morning, Transformers on, 4 o'clock in the evening, be back on again. So in between school. So at school, I was a normal kind of kid. I wasn't sporty or anything like that.
Yeah.
But we did do a few bits and pieces here.
Like majority of the people listening to this podcast are mainly
nerds.
Yeah,
they're actually doing laps at the moment, running around the parks and all, listening to this. Yeah, keep you going. Go on, one more, on your left. You can keep going. Now, he misses those, she does racing also. I know what it's like for a lot of people. So you seem to get in the zone and go racing his round. So it's kind of a healthy thing. But yeah, for me back then, it was just basically the inspiration from Star Wars and then got creative. So I wanted to do drawing. I used to copy comics and start reading. Then my dad used to bring to Alchemist Head. Back then, we didn't have any comic shops like what we do now. So Alchemist Head was behind where the Clarence Hotel is now. And there was a few other shops around the place, Fantasia and stuff like that. And then Alchemist Head eventually moved around to Dame Street. Funny enough, where the Pillows is now. And then Forbidden Planet came along in 1989 and stuff like that as well. So we were getting imports of American comics and I found Transformers and stuff. And then over the years, I kind of, in the schoolyard, just kind of developed this knack for, I'll swap you figures. So we started swapping me Star Wars figures, which currently were his, but they were my possession, so... I was getting Transformers for Christmas. I think Soundwave was my first Transformer I got, and then eventually just got a few fan favorite characters. And then I'd start drawing and swapping, and in the schoolyard. So I learned I could, if I gave one figure away, I might get two figures off, one for one, this and that. Mm-hmm. So the kind of the missing every kind of tracking down things, or someone asking for something, I'd be able to find it here and there or make them for them. So the kind of the building blocks were back then in school. In the schoolyard, and then made a lot of friends who were into sort of similar stuff. Because again, we were the weirdos back then, because we were just kids playing with toys. But then we kind of get to your teenage years and you realize, am I still into this? Am I still over? So, like, you know yourself, Star Wars went away in the 90s. This is before the figures got released, and the special edition 97. So, between like say 88 onwards, VHS was a great entertainment, and that's where I discovered like RoboCop and Aliens, Big Trouble, Little China, and all being left alone. I have stuff to line up, just give me Highlander, give me this. So just when most kids were out playing football or wanting to do this and that, I was watching stuff like Extra, or Pretty Woman, doesn't that? I was watching The Boring and Food of the Gods and Orange Eagle 3, all the weird stuff you find in Extra Vision. So the stuff that's probably in the bottom, like on Netflix right now, you just scroll past.
Yeah.
Me and all my mates just absorbed all the weird movies and all the just like the bad B movies and everything else. So that's where we got our education from most of the time. And again, this is all pre-internet, pre-everything else. So like girls all came along, and then the magazines, and then all the stories from all the boys and stuff like that as well. So growing the inner city was a bit good, because you had the life size stuff, but you had the fun side with the creativity of sci-fi action using all that as well. And then it only became later on, people like, oh, you're a weirdo for reading, and it was like for comics and stuff like that. I was like, well, not really. And then eventually found out like all the comics used to collect, like Transformers, Ninja Turtles, they all went away, but they all came back again. So even through secondary school, I won a scholarship to Belvedere College. Again, just fish out of water. I was just like the little knacker coming into this posh school type thing. But same thing, met a couple of guys who were just there because they got grants and loans from families. Realised they're not all yuppies and all poshies and all. Like day one guy came over and said, what kind of car is your dad driving? I said, a dinky, because that's all we had. We never had a car in the family at that stage. So I managed to get through there. I made a few good friends out. I still have them as well. And same thing, just kind of learn things and just learn to be resourceful. Myself, so I just learned the good like gut instinct, right from wrong, yes and no. I can pinpoint where things could have went this way or that way, because I was the kid who lived in the flat from the flats next door. My grandmother and family were all from there, and I just lived 5 minutes away from there. So it was a bit of an eye opener as well, because some of the other guys that went to school, but they all went off to do different things, and some are fortunately no longer with us, or went on to do kind of nefarious things as well. So it was like I had a good raise and good bringing up as well. So I kind of always praised that, and always what we do in the shop now is we see kids who are coming in, and if their parents or like whoever's with them is going, yeah, what are you reading that for? What are you doing in that stupid place? And all that. I was like, well, this is the kind of encouragement they need. If that's what that's what it's like back home, they need something to kind of anchor them or remind them, no, if you're into this, we'll encourage you, or just try it. You'll probably grow out of it. It'll probably phase it, but look, just you could be doing worse things.
There's no problem for a child to grow out of something.
Yeah, exactly.
But encourage them. It's certainly what I do with my own son, and he is a fanatic about Star Wars at the minute, and I'm just like, you go and you do what you want.
It's one thing we find at the moment is if you get Star Wars, it's boring. We're just like, first of all, we're crawling back on the full Homer Simpson now control yourself. It's like no, because they've been overloaded with everything. They've got video games, they've got stuff, but the thing is, they forget there was nothing for us growing up. Star Wars was the only thing like that, and Lord of the Rings, all these new movies, all Pixar, everything. They would not have any Fast and Furious even. They would not have all these movies, all these technology without Star Wars. So Lucas like really did something special in that the idea he had, and he's probably very humble about it. He'll just basically sit there and go, I've just done this, done that. But all the team he put together to make the movies basically just inspired Cameron and Peter Jackson, all
like
these other
everything
people.
That has come out, like Avatar Marvel, and all of that.
We we had the Marvel comics back then, and grew up again with comics with Batman and Avengers, and mostly Ninja Turtles, Star Wars and Transformers and stuff, and they've come and gone over the years, but back around the 90s and all, there was a massive drill of stuff, and that's when we kind of got into the more grown-up things, like RoboCop, Terminator, and Stan Winston, all the movie guys, Steve Johnson, Rick Baker, and then Rob Bottin. I wanted to find out how to make all this sort of stuff, so I always wanted to do animation, but there was nowhere around the time to do animation. Like, I knew Marigami Wolf made a Turtles cartoon somewhere in Dublin, and Sullivan Blue were still going, but it was only after I left school I found out there was stuff like Ballyferma and stuff like that in art, and now you can do it on your phone. So I'm a bit jealous of the kids with the techniques and all the technology at their hands now. I just don't have time to do it. I still have loads of my old drawings and stuff. I'd like to go back sometime, probably do Photoshop on them and things like that. But I eventually found model making. It was my key. So like my dad, he grew up, when I grew up, he basically had the Enterprise, he had the Apollo 13 rocket, the old Battlestar kits, the old black hole model kits as well. They were always around the room, and because he used my room as like his trophy case, like shelves. So these are all
blamed you, but it was all him.
Yeah, and when he came crashing out, it was all the Airfix NPC Ertl kits and stuff like that. So I grew up surrounded by creativity, and then so I started making models. So I'd be sitting there, he'd buy a kit, and same with Gundam now at the moment. And what's happened was if you get a few parents into it, and we're trying to get the kids into it, because it's basically next step of Lego, in that you'll actually assemble your own action figure. It will move. The only painful side they didn't have to experience that we had to experience was glue.
Yeah.
Because they're all snapped together now. So we had to glue stuff together, Airfix, and then painting here and there. So, of course, we've got a few... few slaps for getting paint on the old carpet and the lining on the table and the walls here and there. But I had a deadly looking X-Wing at the end of it. And then when the summer comes in, my mate Doyle go out and give a battle damage for a bit of magnifying glass in the sun.
Yeah, the old magnifying glass is great.
So create your own little space battles.
I used to destroy loads of army men with the old magnifying glass.
We actually had a good experiment one time where we tested, we were in the flats in Hartree, flats, and we basically went, well, the Millennium Falcon flying. He goes, ah, let's test your own. So off the balcony. So it didn't. If we had phones now, camera phones like we did back then, we'd be recording all sorts of stupid stuff.
That'd be a TikTok moment, I think. Yeah.
It's like, that didn't work. Just try your own. Nah. Gravity is defined. So we had a bit of fun growing up. So they're good friends. A lot of people are still having. I've made lots of friends throughout the years as well because of Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles, stuff like that. So, and when people come up to me and go, oh, you're a nerd, you're a geek, or this and that, I says, no, I'm Jay, I'm a fan. Because most of the time, I'd be like talking, say, well, you're wearing a Ronaldo top, so are you a Ronaldo geek or a nerd? So, no, I'm a Ronaldo fan. Well, boy, how come you're calling me one thing, but it's the same sort of thing? So,
That's something that we've talked about on the show before. You know, people use the word, a lot of people use the word nerd or geek as if as it's like bad.
Yeah.
But people are nerdy about football, people are nerdy about going to the gym. It's a word to say that you love something.
What's wrong
basically
with saying you're a fan, or this is what encourages me, or this is what I think. Because when teenage years, like my room was just covered in drawings on the wall and posters like Catwoman and Jaws and Gremlins and all sorts in The Shining. And it's basically what I said to people. Why have you got all this stuff? So this is what's like being inside my head. These are all the type of things that keep not make me happy, but inspire me to do other stuff so they can go out and help somebody. Or if I'm doing something, it's because Catherine, my auntie, or Paul, they helped me when I was younger.
Yeah.
So I know what it's like, especially now with the social media, the way kids are being. I hate to be a kid now with social media. Is so easily put down for just where your hair is looking, or where it's shaped, or what clothes you're wearing, or you know, wearing a certain brand. There's always a bit of that with kids growing up, but now with social media, it's so easy to target somebody or to say something that you don't intend to be mean, but can be picked up mean, or just all sorts. So we spot a lot of kids in here who over the years are very quiet, and then now you can't get them to shut up, or we know ones just want a bit of encouragement or anything like that. So we won't be acting like if anybody comes in, I like this, and goes, you're a fan of it. I know, I just like it because we're saying, and this people call me a nerd, or some people will say I'm a nerd or a geek. So look, if you want to be scrants, I just look myself as a fan, and this is stuff that inspires me or encourages me, and from now it's a way of life, like yourself covered in tattoos, like Mandalorian belts, all sorts. Like, it was Boba Fett. It's just over the years the metals eroded off it, so it just looks like the Mandalorian.
It's the Mandalorian. I see you've got Wolverine on your t-shirt there,
as well. And then there's Boba Fett key rings, and there's all sorts of stuff all over. I mean, that's just normal day. It's not just like that's not my uniform. It's just like how I gear up and wake up, and like the Transformer mug and stuff at home. There's R2-D2. The house is covered in Lego and Muppets and all sorts of bits and pieces as well. So
it's a bit like my own, really, I know, at the minute. And sometimes I will use excuses as my son, but then it's like, the wife will look at it and go, that's yours, don't lie. I'm like,
I'll have to be upfront there, because of all my mates, I'm the only one that hasn't had any kids, which is great, because they get to come along to me or wherever they are and just look up and go, yay, and have a bit of a laugh, fill them with sweets, shake them up, throw them back to the parents, or so I'm just look, here's Jay, he'll take care of the toys and this and that, or if anybody's lost in town, they'll know to come to me, so and I'll get them sorted out. But it's grand because I can barely take care of myself at this stage. So the time has come and gone. But no, it means I get to see them. I've seen a lot of the kids grow up here as well. And some of them grow out of it and stuff we've done. And other ones are just encouraging. You see, it's good to see them still coming in now. Their first paycheck, yeah. They come in and they're still buying stuff.
Yeah.
And then you see them standing, picking up comics. And they're seeing another kid. I'm looking at them going, that was them like 5-6 years ago. And now they're inspiring another kid to buy something. So it's good to see. The complete of the circle,
yeah,
of how everything happens. So, like I said, some people disappear, some people unfortunately pass on.
Yeah,
it comes with a territory. So that's another thing I've been in. And then when it turned, basically, I've been lucky enough that I've turned what I like into a business. It wasn't easy, but I got there in the end.
Well, right. Well, you've had a hell of a childhood and amazing from
still
start
happened,
to finish.
Yeah.
Still, well, yeah, we're all still big kids, really, aren't we? Yeah. So where did the idea come from for the shop? Well, obviously the original shop.
Got to take you all the way back. Around 89, around Batman. My dad was laid off where he was working, and he had built up, like myself, a collection of model kits. He hadn't built our toys. And he opened up a little stall up in Red Caps Market, up in Christchurch, back when it was actually a full working market. And we used to go up there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I'd go up it was the summer of 89, so I was just about to, I just finished sixth class, and Batman had just come out that year, so it was covered in Batman t-shirts and posters and logos and doing drawings and all sorts. And then we found the model kits, so I went up and gave him a hand. So I'd be going with him every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's just like get through school and then the summer. It was like a little summer job. And then when we weren't up there, like the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'd be building models at home to bring up and try and sell. So I realized, hang on, if I build this, if I sell it for an extra five than what it cost me, I've made profit, which could go towards something else, and I could buy me comics. So that's when I realised. And even back then, I was getting pocket money, and my mates were all starting to smoke. I never smoked, never tried it. They tried to hold me down. And this is the day where you could actually go buy 10 pence cigarettes, one cigarette for 10p. And they'd all hold me down, try to make me do it, and I'd start chewing. Like, no, he's eager. So they realised, I'm not smoking. And at the time, mostly, I grew up with a load of smokers, so it wasn't for me. Mm. And then eventually found alcohol and stuff like that. Well, that's an Irish thing. Anyway. But so basically what's happening is I'd be giving my mates money, my pocket money each week, to a bit of it, to give them so they could buy their cigarettes. But what happened is I'd give that back the next week. So I'd be building.
Yeah.
So this was like, I could buy me own comics and toys and stuff like that. So before, at the stage, we only had Paddy Barrett's, Queen's War. I think most of them were kind of gone by that stage because G.I. Joe and all that had phased out. And this is when we hit the teenage years as well. So around 89, I was hitting 13, Batman just come out. So my dad had the market up there. He kept that going for a year or two. And then we moved to Berkeley Road, the Sean Mayer's shop up there, the back of the post office. That's where a lot of people know my dad from. He had basically a room like bigger. It's about four times the size of this. And he basically filled it with cases. So the same thing as I went up and I'd help him every so often after school or come back to school and basically place for him as mates to hang out as well. And then the same thing, I'd start building stuff and then selling it through the shop and then buying in kits. And then we go off to first convention was over in Birmingham. We actually had little shows here, little Star Wars shows and little events we go to, and a few tables. But first time we went over to England, we started making friends with all the sculptors and the garage kits makers. That's what it was called. When you actually buy chemicals, resins and stuff, and you sculpt your own materials and then you cast your own materials and make kits. Because we were buying loads of magazines, Dave Fisher, Amazing Figure Modeler, stuff like that. So it came from the movies of the ships and everything else, and how everything was practical and like how were these things built, and said these had to be made somehow. So this was me finding out, these guys actually make their own models. So eventually I left school, another guy I knew called Philip New, and I went working with him, and he taught me how to mold make and then how you could use resins, because at that stage all we knew was Prince August model, melting down the metal, a few little lead figures and Warhammer and stuff like that. And at the same time, I was converting some of my old toys, like G.I. Joe's, into like Savage Dragon and Spawn. I was basically using the bodies and putting plasticine and cardboard and bits of whatever I could lay my hands on to turn them into other characters like Terminators and everything, because we never had any toys of them that were good enough, and I wanted all 3¾ scale. So a lot of guys got sacrificed. A lot of guys I probably got for a lot of money now these days, and people are looking for, and I just basically used them as road pig, as Arnold Schwarzenegger and all sorts. So still have a few of them, because I was very proud of Jason Voorhees when I made him when I was about 14, 15. And at the same time, I was doing a bit of work for other model subsidy and Forbidden Planet. I was actually offering them a model maker service. So if someone goes in and buys the kit, they let me know, I go collect it, and a week or two, I bring the finished piece in, and I get comics or toys and stuff for it. So I built up a nice little network, got to know people. So I was like, every Saturday I go up to get me comics, I knew most of it was already paid for. So this is when Dad was still up there as well. And then that was up there a few years, and then I'd left school and went on to work with Philip, and then we were making... our own kind of models and bits and pieces and making displays and props for people here and there. And then that eventually that shop had to move out because the credit union was coming in. So my dad's basically shut down for a year or two, had to move all the stock out. So for about a year or two, there was a bit of limbo. And then I'd gone off with girlfriends and all sorts and just doing bits and pieces, still helping out other shops here and there. But just, it was basically extra pocket money.
Yeah.
And I went to work for model, architectural model making, learn more skills. Basically, any job I went on to, I just learned, I picked up a certain set of skills. Like, I've no theory, I've no college training, no school training, like, or anything like that. I basically went in and was thrown to the deep end. This is how you do this. Here's a grinder, here's a jigsaw, here's all this bits and pieces of tools. Just watch your fingers, kind of thing. And then one thing I had to learn over the years, patience. So when you're mixing chemicals, you can't just pour it in, and you can't be like, I want to figure it out, I want to start building it. No, you've got to wait for the cure. You got to make sure you put the right chemicals in, the right mixture, combinations, sandpaper, and then drill and pin, like, do we glue this two halves together or do we actually bolt it together just to make sure it's more secure? So there's been a lot of disasters over the years, but it's one thing, it's like trial and error. Same with people. I don't blame people for mistakes, but I expect them to learn from them and stuff like that. So there's a lot of mistakes and earnings and scaldings and cuts and stuff like that, but no body parts went missing just yet. So that brought us up around 2004. And again, I'm still collecting figures and bits and pieces. I just randomly, anytime, because I was out and about, and we going to the shops and going, look, there's a Men in Black figure, I'll pick that up, or there's a Shrek figure, I'll pick that up, and there's McFarlane. I was collecting Spawn figures, McFarlane's movie Maniacs, and then NECA came along, because it was like, oh, Deli, they're actually making the figures I wanted when I was a kid now. And now that I have the money, I'm still a bit of a collector, and some of the comics are back that I collected. And at this stage, Tour Place was open, John Hendricks was back in the scene as well. So I was like, okay, so around the time, Gerald was away at the time, we split up and had money saved up for house, wedding, all the usual bits and pieces. And I said, feck, I've got all this sort of stuff lying about. So I approached Liam, who I knew as a former manager of Forbidden Planet when I was in Dawson Street. And he had a place in Temple Bar at Crow Corner, and he was selling off comics. So he just had a lot of space in the back. So I just said, look, do you mind if I come in for 2 weeks, try and clear off a few bits and pieces and see what happens? So he was like, yeah. So we're there for a few years.
a few years.
Yeah, I think it was about 2003, 2004. I went up to like 2010. So the idea was, I was working in a foundry at the time, and I just started working there. Job to job, and I got architecture model making, the work dried up, so I had to be let go after a while there. And then at this point, I'd learned how to fiberglass in another place, resins, plaster work, all sorts of stuff. So I was, again, just learning all the techniques of how to do things. And there's a lot of travel. And at that stage, I bought a car as well, because I was having to get up at like 4 or 5 in the morning, get a bus out to Nace. And this is years ago when the infrastructure wasn't really there. So so I went in with Liam and then made a lot of new connections, met Doctor there as well. And then I just got to the stage around 2009, 2010. I was just tired because I was working 7 days a week for like 10 years type of thing. So I was kind of like, I'll step back. So I let my dad take over. The idea was I do the nights and kind of weekends and work the shop. And he'd do all the other times in between. And I was getting to the stage where the owner and the foundry died. And we're like, oh, what's going to happen? So I was glad I set the shop up to try and have like, well, the foundry's going to go, and so I'll use the shop as a backup to go to the next stage, like plan ahead, like always have a backup type of thing. So I was like, I'll stay here as long as I can. Long story short, you end up buying the foundry based on the money I made from the shop. With your cousin, of all people, that's how we met Dave as well, as met another good friend. And again, through Star Wars, big love of that as well. And then it turns out we knew other people as well. So me, Dave, and two other lads, we end up buying our jobs. And the company we were in at the time. So that was, it was just like shit a girl off the pot type of thing.
Yeah.
It's like we always said what we could do if we had this place, if we control this place. And unfortunately, Jim passed, and we didn't want to see his legacy go away. He built up a good reputation and a good company. So we're just like, we'll do what we can with it. So I was like, right, in for the long haul again. So back to 7 days a week. So years later, it just got to the stage where I was just feeling tired. And then I decided to kind of leave my dad to the shop and we'd take a step back. And then for the first few weeks, so it was basically 5 days a week in the foundry, just concentrating on the foundry. And then I'd go up on Saturday morning, the first Saturday morning, I just remember sitting there watching SmackDown, sitting around and going, I'm bored. I just don't know what they're doing. Normally I'd be up and off to the shop by now and record SmackDown, watch it later on sort of thing. It was just like, I was able to meet up with the people who used to come into me in the shop and eat and just chill out in between customers and just trying to order stuff in for people. Because the main reason I helped set up the shop as well is in Temple Bar on my own at the time was... I other shops couldn't get the stuff I wanted. Hot Toys, and this is when Hot Toys started coming on the market. Marvel Legends, some Transformers. So I just made friends all around the world, and they were able to source stuff for me. So I had one guy in the planet call me and he said, "Oh, we're getting in this Mark III hot toy Ironman. Do you want one?" I said, "I had it 6 months ago." That sort of thing. So it was just kind of, we got a good reputation of getting this, tracking down things for people. And most of the time we were able to track down things and for a good price as well. And then again, just seeing young people who were like me at the stage who were getting into sorting. I said, "Look, I need a bit of encouragement. And just, they might grow out of it, they might not. But if not, it's you go through phases where, like, this is what I'm happy with now, this is what I'm happy with now, and move on as well." So, it just got to, around 2010, Doc came in and took over. He set up his own little comic thing on the side and I left my dad there. And then a few weeks later, I think it was only retired for like 6 months. The pictures only came on my timeline thing there of a night out. It was like Jay retires and goes off and does other stuff for my birthday and all sorts. And then I think that was in January. And by October that year, I was back. We got a notification to say that Liam had to, or the shop was going in Temple Bar. Yeah. We need to move out everything, so I basically were just like, okay, so we found Bolton Street, threw everything into there, and then up to last August, that's where everything was, in Bolton Street. So we came to Dublin City Comics, moved up in the Bolton Street. So I joined forces officially with Doc around 2011, 2012. So we basically just had to base camp and just get our shit together. And then we've just been going there, and then Anto joined the team. We've had loads of people helping us along the way, but then Anto came in a few years ago, and now, and then around 2017, we always wanted to move. We always felt the shop was choking itself, and that we had a lot of stuff downstairs, a lot of great stuff. We only had limited space as well upstairs in Bolton Street, and it was home for a while, because we used to actually live above stairs. Me and Doc used to live above stairs as well, in the apartments above the way. So it was kind of fun that this lifestyle I had gotten into had now become a total life, because you basically locked the door, walked upstairs, again, walked into a room full of toys, full of posters, full of music, movies and all sorts, and be out till all hours of the night, and people knocking on the doors, and customers hanging around at 6 going, "Ash, yeah, come on, come upstairs and have a few beers or something." It was just mad. So it was a good time. Good time. So it was just like, at some stage you're going every so often, am I in limbo? Is this purgatory? Like, is this, this is all going a bit too well. Because you're just like, this is bizarre. And then other people, you see other people who are kind of bored in their life or just didn't get the kick up the hole they wanted, or just like, you can do what you want. Whereas I kind of rediscovered my teenage years and my 20s and just went out and just do all sorts of stupid stuff, running around, nothing super illegal, but just being like, hey, at your age you shouldn't be out running around this age, or being out till 5 in the morning, all the sort, and then going to work and then operating all these machines. Like, look,
If you can survive and do that, you go and do it.
Exactly. Like, some people, at one stage people wanted to drain me blood to figure out what was in it, because they were just like, how do you get the energy? It's like a dynamo effect. And then so the more I did, the more energy, and just kept going. And then it would be moments of like, I'm dead, just crash here and there. But it's like, as Kirk says in Generation, it's been fun. It's like, I can go, I've actually made peace with the fact I could, because a few things happened over the years, just makes me realise, and then just kind of slow down. But if I just went in and sat in the bog there and doing Elvis, just never came out of it, I could just go, it's been fun.
Yeah,
it's been.
You've had a good life.
It's been a pleasure. Yeah, I know there's loads more to do, and other things is just like, I've never. There's a few. We've all got. I've got models and stuff. I'm thinking, never finish, or ideas, or sketches, or people I want to see go do things and all, or help something out. Because at the same time, because I grew up with good influences and people doing stuff, it's only afterwards we're like, oh, hang on, that only happened because so and so did it. It's like the movies. Yeah. You see the magicians behind the scenes. So here we try, and here, and just in my life in general, it's not one of these, I did that for you, better name check me on Facebook or something. No, it's just do something here. Sometimes I've done stuff and people don't even realize it. And then same thing with me. So it's just trying to keep the whole, it's not like a guardian angel type thing, but just
people. Great, nice, good influencer.
Yeah, and again,
not the type of social media. No, God, no, because
they're
horrible
stuff
people.
At Dublin City Comics, by the way. DublinCityComics.ie. But 1314 Cable Street. Jesus, it's sound like a radio ad now. But just in general, just like, I recently have all this whole, I'm not a whole story about this whole be kind thing, but over the years, just like, just don't be. Social media has kind of brought out the worst in people and the best in people. So, like, all things, all tools, it can be used for good and bad. So over the years, we just basically learned, look, just try and do good stuff for people. And if good stuff happens to you, fair enough. There's always going to be shit and bad things happening. But it's not like for every one thing you do, you've got two things good happen. It's just wherever happens,
like,
happens.
I've always known that genuine people will do nice things just for the sake of doing nice things.
Yeah,
whereas arseholes will do nice things for gain.
Yeah, and then there are people who will take advantage of situations and things like that, and we kind of look out for things here like that as well. And then same thing, like, as much as I try to be just do my thing and just be like, I don't try to claim to be the best here or just doing that, the amount of people that don't like me or just don't they hate the shop or the whole brand or the idea, that's their issues, their time. I've got one guy now Well, not now, even. It's not even a blip, but it was a rare time. I had a few days off there a few months ago. I was sitting in the back of my car waiting on the girlfriend's parents to arrive. We're checking into a guest house in Cavan. Lovely weekend, just want to get away from everything for a bit. And with another guy, one of my mates phoned me and said, oh, so-and-so has wants you to stop talking about him in your videos. We do a weekly video where you update things. So he talked to subliminal messages in his in the videos about him, who I haven't spoken to in 4 years. And when we did, it was only because of buying stuff off and just hadn't any dealings with him in the 4 years. But for some reason, he thought there was subliminal messages in him. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm done with people's paranoia. It's just, I'm just, the stuff out there. People have stuff going on. They need to go get help. So I'm an advocate for... friends are great to talk to, but friends can only tell you so much. So there are professionals out there, and go talk to people if you do have issues and things like that. Because I recently had something where I basically just felt compromised and just had to go get checked. Well, checked, but just basically wanted to double check a few things. Find out it was okay, but just for the most time, it's a good gauge of what's here, but just needed to go check something. Anyway, with a few things going on. And then I'll always advocate, there are professionals, there are people out there to go sorting. So we do, and this again, the day and age of social media, kids are afraid to post pictures and things like that, and I'm saying, look, do it, because you never know, your favorite artist, you're tagging it, might see it, or you might see an editor or somebody else. So I always tell kids, if you think you're crap around, just keep all your artwork, all your work, all your writing and everything else. You'll never know, in 10-20 years you'll come back to that and note, or might inspire you to do something else, or might come in handy for something here and there. And because we're fans of quirky fighting here, I just call them happy accidents and all sorts, where we say something and next of all that figure turns up, or we design something and then 2 years later we go, oh, hang on, that's sort of like this and that. So it's just not planning for the future, but it's just like every so often, just say, it's like we've traveled back from time and planted something here and there. So it's weird. But what was the question again?
You answered fairly well. Basically, yeah. Well, it was about the setup of the shop. So obviously, you know, you started in Bolton Street. We're now in Capel Street.
Yeah, 2017. The shop was kind of choking itself in that we had so much stuff and so much good stuff. We made a lot of great connections and we helped a lot of people out with, and they had to move their collection on. And that was one thing I learned when I was up in Temple Bar. Even a few people saw me their collection because times got rough through the recession and everything else. And then later on, they end up buying a bit of a back. So it was good to see people like not losing their whole collection, but being able to do something. At the same time, I was trying to keep myself in a job and keep myself in a lifestyle kind of thing as well. So we decided that we were going to look for a bigger place. And at the same time, we found another shop was actually open closer to the city centre. And we wanted to go closer to the city centre. And then Anto, just by chance, was checking a few places and he saw here the only Cable Street was available. So we just came up with the idea of like, what if instead of one big shop moving everything, we had two shops just... we keep Bolton Street for new arrivals, new comics, new toys. Take the pressure off that stock-wise, and we could actually maximise the space a bit better. And then if we basically use down here as second-hand back issues, which we weren't into at the time, we're mostly known for getting tracking down older and hard-to-find toys and things like that. And we come across a few collections of comics, and we only have a handful of box back issues, and we try and clear them off. And we're just getting swamped and swamped with more and more. So again, it was kind of... all we can do is try it. Just try it. At least we did it. If it didn't work out, so we applied for the place. The landlord liked us, and we just came up with the idea that in this day and age, instead of, because another shop was going on, we're getting a big refit. We're doing this. It's going to be ready in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But we said, what if we do this in a secret? So what we did is we didn't tell anybody. And it turns out a film director like Adam Green, he had the same thing. He was actually making a film in secret. And he didn't tell everybody he's working on a different project, this and that and that, but it turned out to be a sequel to Hatchet. Victor Crawley. So at the same, it was just very serendipitous. We're working the same thing. So I just basically went, oh shit, because Godswing, I'm not the only one taking the same thing. And he had the same idea of basically, look, in this day and age, just try and keep it under key.
Yeah.
So we, for a solid month and a bit, we found out in, I think, August Comic-Con 2017, we found out we got the place the very Friday morning, and we were just, because we couldn't tell anybody. We all agreed, do not tell anybody. Just want this to be a secret. Imagine if this just comes out of nowhere. And so we started work on it. So we got through Comic-Con, giddy as fuck, and then basically started plotting and planning. So we went to source the glass cases, wood, and then Anto, Dez, Dean, and himself, just and Doc, we all just chipped in wherever we could after hours after the shop. So it was a long old slog for 4 weeks. We had planned to open up, like say, the end of September, and then it just wasn't trying to reach the date because we're trying to run the shop at the same time.
Yeah.
So it was a bit weird because you'd have Wayne and the rest of the guys doing their podcast over in the Black Sheep, we'd have all these windows kind of blacked out with cardboard. The CEOs, people are wondering, where's all the stock going? Because every so often we're reeling stock down here.
Yeah.
And we're getting stuff delivered and it's all blacked out because nobody can see what's in here. And we're like, oh, we have a little offsite warehouse down the back of the Smithfields and we're just reeling stuff down there. Nobody, people actually saw us walking down the road, bringing stuff. Oh, no, just calling in here. All right, see you later, boy. No idea what was going on here. Power saws and jigsaws and all sorts and bolting stuff together as well. So over the we aimed to open by the end of September and just basically said, look, October 13th, what can go wrong? It's a Friday the 13th. So we had the place ready. A week and a half, good solid 2 weeks of packing up the glass cases because we had so much stock and we had a whole wall of transformers. That's what I was very proud of. We basically make the biggest transformer collection in Ireland available to the public. Marvel Legends, Star Wars, you name it. And we didn't realise how much stock we had until we actually put it all out. So, we basically put a plan together that we called everybody. We got a lot of friends and family, and there's a few people that did know, like their friends and wives and all the bits and pieces. So we basically, on a Thursday, the 12th, I want to say, we called a few people and said, look, can you make it to the shop? We've got a bit of an announcement to make. And some people have probably heard all this story before, but you know what? Fast forward, I'll just enjoy it again. So we got a few people together and said, look, can you come down to the shop at 6 o'clock? We've got a bit of an announcement we want to make and just talk to people, and there's just a select few people. So we called about 50 to 100. I think it was about 50 people now, offhand. And we just said, look, come on down, can you be here? And what we did is we started off in the shop and we said, look, we're going to bring you to the pub. We have, me and Doc have something to tell you and all, so we just want you all to be the first to know about it. And we got as far as a little green area over there, sitting in the corner on Capel Street there. So we walked down from Bolton Street, came down to here, and basically went, I thought it was being very good, but Doc was very convincing. He started drawing tears, he'll say it himself. He was just saying, people, look, it's all being really emotional and stuff, and I'll be something to tell you, and I actually can't, and then pass on to me. And I was like, right, all I gotta say, it's been fun, and we don't know how to find the words and all, but like, you know what, and I just started walking, and people were watching. So I started walking, and Anto and the kids and everybody else was still in here with the lights on, but the windows are all still blocked off.
Yeah.
No logos, no nothing.
No nothing, yeah.
So I just came straight over here, opened the key, and all you hear is people, what's going on? Where's he going? Because he said, we're going to go to the pub, we're going to treat you all, but we haven't got enough money. We got you all down to the field, technically down around the corner, and said, we've no money for drinks, we can't afford to bring the drinks, so I'm just going to bring it in here. And they walked in, all the cheers start, because basically you've just walked into a ready-made shop, and people are like, what the fuck's going on here? So you basically walked them all in, and it's a good 30 to 40 people. We invited John Hendricks as well from the Big Bang as well, because he said, come on, we're going to get you food and all sorts. So he arrived 20 minutes later. So the opening joke was, congratulations, you all know something before John Hendricks. So it was a bit of a laugh. So we basically just got onto the counter and just said, thanks to all you people, this is the next phase of Dublin City Comics. So the idea was to have the two shops going at the same time. And we did it for a long time because we knew the shop across the way was always going, was always up for sale every so often. And we'd have people coming in, threatening to buy it. And a lot of landlords were actually a few on board with us staying on and doing all sorts. And then so for 2 years, we had the two shops running concurrently. This would, again, part two, the sequel, the quickening, and all sorts of names were assigned to it. And we had actually, the other thing was big because we had the Emerald Garrison, the 504. We had more space for cosplay and more for displays and for guests and also something we never ventured into. So again, not being big show offs or anything like that, we just said, no, we have the space. We can actually bring our friends in and people in to show off. So we had a big launch party around Halloween. We actually had made a quick video of because a lot of people didn't, this is on the Thursday night, so we just tell people, don't advertise this, don't take pictures, we just want to announce this tomorrow morning, basically hit the internet with Dublin City Comics 2. So we started off a video, just actually be right behind you, there we are, with the banner behind us, and me and Doc just basically apologised to people, saying we're sorry, we can't do it anymore, and you'll have to spend more money, and then just start walking. And then the camera reveals the shop is fully armed and operational, as the Death Star was. Hopefully it doesn't end up like the Death Star. So Anto and all the rest of the team started introducing the comics and what we had here. So it was a good reaction to it. End up on Bleeding Cool News, of all things, as well. We just basically let people out there, were out there, and a lot of support, a lot of people. But again, you'd have people who are like, oh, them guys and bums. We're going to do your thing, we're going to do our thing. We're just going to just help out people and just with their collections, with problems if they can, and then just add bits and pieces as well. So we're not martyrs, we're not anything else, we're just basically just guys who just like doing this sort of thing, and we're going to try and do it the best we can.
You're first and foremost fans of what you do.
Yeah, that's a kind of, not airs and graces, but that's what kind of sets us apart from other shops, is we walk the walk, we talk the talk, and we ban the poodoo as well. So that's all. So we're not full of, we don't have enough Biscar steel on us just yet, but We'll get there. Like, we have, like all businesses, we have our ups and downs and things as well, but we just do our best to get through it day to day.
So, well, in terms of the shops, and obviously you've had the two, you have the main one now.
Yeah. Just briefly to finish up with that one. What happened was, the shop around Comic Con last August. Mm-hmm. We're having a meeting just to get ready for Comic Con, how we're going to prep it, and staff and numbers and what we're going to bring on projections, all the usual stuff. I swear it's like we planned for it. We just turn up at Comic Con and what happens. So we just get it all. It feels like we're only set up and we're back home again. So it's a bit of fun.
It does go that quickly.
It is
really
coming
in
a few weeks. The tickets are still on sale online and here in the shop as well. So we had a great relationship with the guys from Comic Con from day one. Because we knew Carl and Brian and Derek and all the rest of the lads as well. It came to, we're getting ready for Comic-Con last year, and then we got a knock at the door, and basically a guy came in and just represented the new landlord. It turns out it was the new landlord, just didn't introduce himself at the time, and was telling us all the new spiel and this and that, and then I got bad vibes and stuff like that again. It was just like, I feel like this is it, and the way it's going, and over the next few days, it kind of deteriorated into, look, I know this is it. So that's when we basically had the allegory of Star Trek 3, the Enterprise is like, it's self-destruct, because we have, everybody's going, oh, it's a good thing at the second shop. Yeah, it's not like we planned it or anything like that, just in case. So the only causality from that was my dad had nowhere to go. So he basically had to take all his stuff out and move it back home. So we're going to try and find him somewhere else to serve. We had no space here. Hmm. So a lot of people are still asking where Christy is. He's basically in semi-retirement.
Yeah.
And so we're going to try and get him sorted. He's doing some stuff online, but he needs to be like me. Again, this age of social media, it's the whole interaction. Mm-hmm. The face-to-face, I'm getting people into the shop. Like, people are saying, show us photos, show videos. And I was like, no, come on in. You don't know what you're looking for. You might have something you don't know about. So I used to go to conventions and markets and shows and looking around in boxes and getting the hands dirty at toy fairs and stuff like that. So people go, oh, you're a merchant, you're just going to buy something to sell it. And goes, no, if I buy it, it's mine. If I sell it later on, it's my own. Whatever I do, it's like when people going here. If I buy this now for €20, it's going to be worth 20 next week. So I don't know. I can't tell you. Once you buy it, you can do what you want on thingy. So again, sometimes people, it comes down to people's attitudes. Oh, this is too high, this is too low, this is too dear. It's your own personal thing. Whatever you want to spend on it, it's what you want to spend on it. And the whole thing with eBay is, just because it's selling for this price on eBay, that's what somebody on eBay wants for it, doesn't mean it's going to sell for it. So again, there's a whole rigmarole of stuff like that. So anyway, long story short, we had to evacuate Bolton Street around the same time as Dublin Comic Con last year,
which is probably a hell of a job to do.
Yeah, so if you think about the 8 to 9 years, we're hoping to make it to 9 years, because it would have been the second Bertie. It was in August and we're hoping to last till October, where it would have been the second Bertie of Capel Street, and it would have been the ninth Bertie of, they had both the same opening dates of Bolton Street, but we didn't. So we haven't had a proper chance to mourn it either. It's just, it basically just had to get over it, get on with Comic Con, move the stuff, and then we move all our stuff out in 3 days. Wow. So it took 8 to 9 years to build the place up.
But the sheer amount of stuff that you had as well, that was a feat.
We had some of our own stuff down there. It was a lot of moving stuff around the house. So again, the partners and girlfriends and all that were all great, the way things were going on, because we're all pulling mad hours and we're all in bits, because we feel the Comic Con is a physical endurance. It's fun, but it takes a lot of energy out of you. And then to basically put the emotions of, look, our home has been taken away from us. But at the same time, that's why I kind of figured it's like the Enterprise. That was the Enterprise. This is the Enterprise A, and then the Enterprise. Well, this is more like the D, and it's a lot bigger. And
well, it's bigger. It's flashier. It's whiter.
That was the joke used to have. People come in. The idea was, if you're in the air, people are saying, why do you have two shops? And it goes, well, imagine if we moved to a bigger shop and we'd have like floor one, floor two, floor three. You don't want to go up steps. Why don't you just walk across the road? You'd be fine with that service. And they're like, okay. And then we kind of put the idea into the heads. If you're in the area, come to one department and then go across the road to the other department. But then we found out some people just liked going to ward you or forget. I'm kind of the unofficial face kind of thing, because I take care of this. Again, like, I'm not too mad in the social media, but I've learned to embrace it and how to use it for what it is and not get too dragged into the pit of it. And because even myself, I've been spending less and less, it doesn't feel like it, or to some people, I've been spending less time on Facebook and stuff like that, because it's fine. I hate Twitter, so I never join Twitter, but the shop is on Twitter just so we can share reposts from Instagram and stuff like that. Never paid for a post, anything like that as well. So it was just like algorithm. So it's for me, the social media kind of thing is just like, so it looks like it's 24-hour advertising. Mm-hmm. So when the shops are open, and now Anto was actually over at Christmas, he's put together a website as well, doing a lot of researching, and the team behind him helping with that. So we have a website up now as well. We put our figures on. So we're still finding our feet with things like that. We'd rather do the face-to-face, talk to people, and just find out what people like and what you're into. Because we got a good reputation of, if so-and-so comes in asking about something, we have a thing called the hunt list, where you put your details and put the figure in. And so if it ever gets traded in, you get first refusal on it. But I've kind of got a good memory in that. And then again, back to the weird quirky things, is someone was in looking for someone was looking for a Sleepy Hollow figure from the Tim Burton movie. McFarlane did them. I have one myself, it's a fantastic piece. And it's like, even I know it's kind of rare to come across and haven't seen him in years. And he's like, oh, here's the details. And if you ever see one, let me know. 3 minutes later, a guy comes in with a whole collection of trade. And what's on top of it? The Sleepy Hollow thing.
Wow.
It's a phone call. So we always tell people, say, look, it's weird how things happen. It could happen 3 minutes, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years. We have your details. And then if it comes in, we give you a call. And if you're interested, or if you already have in the meantime, just tell us yes or no. And if it doesn't, it goes up on the shelf. Someone goes to a new home. So it's the kind of way, and again, that the upselling, all that, is the idea behind the glass cases. And if we have it, it's on display.
Yeah.
And we always have a good pre-ordering campaign as well. We always try to find out what new toys are coming up. Like Toy Fair is a good example. So we're putting up loads of new photographs. So that's what Doc just said there, is so-and-so is up for order. So I'll put a picture up later on. We'll try and engage orders. And then at the same time, being a small business and being an Irish business, we don't have a big warehouse right behind us. This is our money. Everything we put in, we put the money in over the years, and then we've gotten good stuff out of it, but it's money in, money out, and we've got to take care of the staff as well. When people order stuff, it's most of the time it's in good faith. We'll order it in, and then we have to keep an eye on if people haven't collected their comics in a while, because people are like, oh, just if they want to just resell it, it says, yeah, but we still have to pay for it. So the idea of someone else just coming in, you put us back what you don't want to buy, is no good to us. Okay, it probably will sell again, but that's one extra thing we had to buy in where we could have paid for a bill or bought something else in. So the whole business side and the account side of thing all kind of takes the fun out of it.
Yeah.
It's a necessary evil, but again, I've learned a lot of stuff over the years, like through pitfalls, and same with the foundry as well. So everything we learned along the way kind of added or just to the collective. And we all business pieces. So Doc brought his skills and experience. Anto brought his skills as well. So we all just found that at the end of the day, you just have to be just be straight up with people. That's what we learned. So again, back being fans, not just wanting to work in a comic. We get a lot of people wanting to work here as well. Mm. And you'll see most of the crew we have are all a bit of fun, a bit of banter. Mm-hmm. And they're fans and collectors as well. So there's no point going to a shop, as we've heard. You go to a counter and you hand over a comic. You're reading that. If one of my staff was even that, or even myself, was just like, no, just you don't need to be here. Type of thing.
That's just bad advertising for the shop.
And
yeah.
Then another place, if you're like, oh, I'm looking for Optimus Prime, and go, what's an Optimus Prime? Yeah. And like, and that's when you kids, how you do you these kids?
It's, I suppose it's like anything really. You have to have a certain amount of knowledge for what you're
saying.
Yeah,
like I don't pretend. I know where I knew growing up, and things have changed. Like I have no interest in the Power Rangers. I had Voltron. Yeah. And then there's other things that came along. I went, like Rick, at the recent moment, Rick and Morty. Well, up to a few years ago, everything was Rick and Morty. It was like, I had South Park, I had Futurama, I had all this stuff, so it feels like I'm watching all again.
They were better as well.
Yeah, they were. I remember when the Simpsons were the most offensive thing on TV. So we've come a long way, baby. And now I have all the action figures, all them type of things. Again, back to the things that inspired me, and then I've actually gotten to meet a lot of people that inspired me. So I think I found a list earlier today, I was having a bit of a clear out in the attic, and I found a list I wrote in, say, 1997. And the amount of actors and comic writers and artists I wrote on it, because I never thought I'd get to do any of this.
Yeah.
And I've met Arnold Schwarzenegger, I've met Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy, Kevin Eastman, Stan Lee, all these, not just names. There's only a handful of names left in the list, and I'm like, I'm very lucky. I fell into the job I'm in and the career I'm in. And that's why I'm trying to inspire the kids and all. Says, look at me, you could be, never just say no, you never got to meet anybody. I never thought I'd get a chance to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mm. I'm meeting Optimus Prime in August, like Peter Cullen, another one going to be thing science. And then the only names on the list are George Lucas, Matt Groening. I have a signed thing for Matt Groening, but I still like to meet him, because the good thing about getting to meet these people is the inspire to say thank you. It's basically, this is what you think, what you did. Like most of the time it's pages just want to sign stuff, get it signed, sell it. I have all the stuff I got signed just because it meant something to me. It gave me a chance to meet the person, and it's appreciative, and to say thank you as well. So same thing about Arnie, it's just like thanks for everything.
Yeah, exactly. So you're a fan first and foremost, and then when you actually get to meet the people, you're like, you know, you kind of want to thank them. They inspired you to do something that you're doing now.
It goes back from, it started from an early age, because I don't remember if anybody remembers. Like it's the same with the EG and the 504th events. Yeah. You get to meet they bring all the Star Wars actors, and some people revere them, like C-3PO in the woods. They're like, oh yeah. But I got to meet David Prowse, Peter Mayhew, Kenny Baker. When I was about 7 or 8, they did an event over in Brown Thomas.
Wow.
When the back was on Dawson Street. I still have photographs, my sister still has stuff. And like, I got to meet Darth Vader in costume in Easton's years ago. And 20 something years later, I only life size Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And it's just mad. You just think back at these things and you're just like, I really am having a good life. And it's like, again, and then not the whole feeling too up myself or anything like that. Yeah. It was just like, this is what I'm into. Other people, like, for things, it's going off to see Accrington and Stanley or Harchester United or whatever they're bloody into in the football and the posters and all this. I know I've probably named some people go, oh, Star Wars, Star Trek's all the same. Like, same thing. I have family members and all, like, they swear by EastEnders and Coronation Street and goes, isn't that terrible? That's not real. And goes, you keep saying stuff I'm into is not real, but yeah, look at all the good it's doing. Like, it's inspiring people, helping people.
Well, people are nerdy about EastEnders, Coronation Street.
Yeah.
People are geeky about that, so you can be geeky about your own thing.
Like. Lofty is probably the last time I watched Bleeding, EastEnders, whatever what you call it. Neighbours. I like Neighbours at the time.
Anyway. Yeah.
SmackDown and Raw, they were my soap.
Yeah, same with myself, yeah.
So again, just meet Mick Foley. The Rock, Stone Cold, I'd love to meet all them sort of people as well. Again, because when I did meet Mick Foley and then Jerry the King Lawler, I was like, just thanks for everything. It's like, just you guys put your lives on the line, your body, your family, career, to entertain all of us. So when people say wrestling is not real, it's like, the wrestling is real. Storylines and stuff like that.
It may be choreographed, there may be storylines. Yeah. People, it might be predetermined, but like, I did wrestling training, we're talking now 16 years ago. Yeah. I did it for 6 months. I banjaxed my left knee. Yeah. I went back and one of the lads said to me, oh, can I try a move? And I was like, yeah, you go ahead, yeah. So he sets me up for the move and I was upside down. He held me up, it was a Stalin suplex and I was just like, I can't do this. Mm. So I commend anyone who can, because they really do. Like the injuries they get is unreal.
Like people say they're millionaires, they're making money. So there's not only a handful, like in this industry as well, comic artists, there's only a handful that make a bit of money or get the notoriety, and then some go up their own arse. So some stay as they are, and some just fade away. But behind the scenes, they still got to pay bills. They're still fathers, uncles, mothers, grandmothers, all sorts as well. They're probably living off painkillers. Mm-hmm. Got their own emotional stuff going on as well, and things, just life gets in the way. As we find here, as again with customers, if they fall behind on stuff or they can't afford that, or if things are too expensive, we say, look, life gets in the way. We can't make a payment. We understand. Just keep us in the loop, and we'll do what we can for you as well. Because as a collectors as well, we set up the deposit scheme because we knew like people come in, oh, I want to get that. It's a bit expensive. Can't pay it all. Say, look, it's the whole idea of like, do I pay me electricity bill or do I buy a hot toy? Like, look, I'd rather buy the hot toy, but you still got a left bill to pay. So there's a deposit scheme as well. But then, the whole Star Wars thing with the Garrison and the EG and the 501st as well. They're out doing it like yourself. That's just meet yourself through Dave and through the thing as well. And there was one of those other people I knew were a part of the groups as well. So again, you get the bigger network out there. And that's where you meet people who are like, oh, I wasn't on my own. I'm not the only one who likes all this sort of stuff. There's different levels of it. And then at the same time, we're not trying to be the kind of like, oh, come to us. We're the only shop. We're into all this. We're the level. You've got to be on our level. So no, there's different levels of like a Star Wars. You can have a t-shirt. You can have a comic, an action figure. You can have 1,000 figures. It doesn't matter. You're still a fan of all this sort of stuff. So we tried to explain that having more stuff doesn't mean you're better than anybody else.
Yeah.
Or having less. As long as you're having fun, you're enjoying it, and then you can pass on that enjoyment to someone else. That's the best thing you can do about it. So again, getting to meet David Prowse and all them guys at an early age, it was kind of fun. Then you realise some of the Star Wars guys are just like, look, I was in for 30 seconds, George Lucas made an action figure of me, this is my life now. Some of them embrace it, like Jeremy Bullock.
Yeah.
And others are just bitter as fuck about it. But it's just the way it is.
Yeah, I've met some really miserable fuckers over the years.
And then the time of Comic-Cons as well, some people have, a few years ago, Comic-Cons were kind of a bad word for celebrities, like where several graveyard celebrities come to die because of a comic convention. They're all doing it.
Yeah.
It's all meet and greets, all the Marvel lads, all Cumberbatch and all the rest, and they're all doing this. Momoa, I remember years ago, we were in New York and he was there. It's before Aquaman and everything else, and he was having a great time meeting people. And then just gave me a chance to meet Todd McFarlane and all these other people that I never thought I'd have a chance to. So it's just like, you don't, some people freeze up, and the odd moment I do have a moment of like, shit, I can't stop to say, you just basically go and say thank you. Other people are saying, I'm going to meet Doctor Who, my favorite Doctor Who, what do I say? Just say hello. First of all, say hello.
Yeah.
He's there to meet you, and the other way around, okay, just got me exchange of money somehow,
yeah,
but you're going to get the experience of meeting somebody who you've enjoyed their work. For some people, they're just going to pass her off and go, yeah, whatever. Other people are going to tell you stories.
Yeah.
Like the Ghostbuster lads are going to tell you all. Ernie Hudson is telling us all great stories about the Crow and Ghostbusters and stuff like that. So it's great like that. And Michael Rosenbaum.
Yeah.
Went out for a thing over him and turned a massive horror fiend.
Yeah.
We're throwing stories at each other and all sorts. So he's got a good podcast on it as well. But it's just lucky. I'm very lucky. And it's a fortune of my own making in some way, and then just through other forces out there as well.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of looking, the people I've met along the way, some people have lost along the way. It's just life happens.
And yeah.
Some people change and some people don't. Other people are, unfortunately, no longer with us, but it's just keep on going. So I know these days I'm slowing down a bit and there's just loads more stuff to do, but it's just, we've no, there's no end in sight, basically.
No.
And no shortage.
Well, that's good to hear. So yeah, obviously we've got Comic-Con now in a couple of weeks, and obviously you're going to be there. I'm assuming you're going to be in that lovely prominent spot again. It's the one thing when I go to Comic Con, I think
the
WC Comics
official leasing. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people, you know, you get a lot of regulars at it and regulars in the shop. But what advice would you give to say younger people, people who are nervous going to these things?
Stay hydrated.
Use deodorant.
Make sure you go to the toilet because there's one year I didn't got to the stall. There's always a bit of fun at Comic-Con. People don't see the disaster behind the scenes. It's not a disaster. It's a disaster and that's fun. It's like a live-action cartoon or a comedy caper. We're always having fun. But we arrange to have stuff done by 9 o'clock and at 10:05, because of other people come down and say, hi, how's it going, Jay? Next week, you have 10 minutes talking to somebody you're not supposed to be talking to. You're supposed to take care of something. A staff member's wandered off here or there or something's falling down, as long as nothing's on fire. But what happens is, as soon as you go to fix something, it's like, bang, it's showtime. You just switch on and it's like, hey, welcome to the show. You throw in the Beetlejuice, just fucking get on there. And it's like meeting the guests. If you don't have a little bit of nervous energy at the start of going something, you don't have the love for it, the fun of it anymore. You always have that little moment of just a little spark, just need a kickstarter. So it's always like a little moment of doubt or the whole dry mouth effect and everything else. Because there's been times when I'm going on stage and I'll be pushed onto stage like something with wall rats or something, just walk on stage, hello. And there's other times where I know I'm going to do something for weeks and I walk on like, this 10 seconds feels like an hour. And then it blurts out. Because you're just like, shit, I forgot everything I was about to say. But it happens to everybody as well. So Comic-Con is kind of like, showtime.
Yeah.
Just get into it. And we'd love to wear in costumes. We just love to have fun. That's another thing I just never talk into is cosplay, but that's just another documentary. And then having Disney and Warners and all these people calling me. Because it's just like, no, the cosplayers are the guys who I just organize stuff and I've actually helped out as well. But I'm just good at kind of going, it's like Mask. Do you know when Matt Tracker had to pick a team?
Yeah.
I know the cosplayers are who'll work out for different things and it doesn't come reliable. Who's the best? Who's going to have a bit of fun with this? Who's going to be good with the people? And who's actually going to tore up as well, sort of thing. And then how can I help them? So I'm trying to get like financial things or we've tried to help out with gifts and stuff like that because it's just like, I don't believe in nothing for nothing.
Yeah.
It has to be a bit of something as well. And it's a bit of fun. So how far, I think I have a good reputation, but I don't know. Nobody's told me worse. Or
I've heard terrible things.
Keep to yourself.
Always do.
But Comic-Con, our spot is basically, one of the first things you see on the ground floor when you walk in. That's it's kind of way we like it. But it's a kind of an unofficial information desk as well.
Yeah.
People come up to us, where's this, where's that? And to be honest, like that story is telling me, I was half nine, I was like, I need to go pee. I need to go to the toilet. And then bang. I did not see a toilet till 10 o'clock that night. It was just mental all day. My body just went into shock. It was obviously the same time Dr. Crusher was there. I can't think of her name.
Gates McFadden
was there because she was a guest. And what happens, my girlfriend helps out with the guests. So she has the phone numbers. And then a few days later, I was actually feeling a bit, my stomach was a bit old.
Yeah.
I think so on the Monday morning, I'm supposed to fly off. Gates calls my girlfriend to find out where a taxi is. Like, this is 8, 9 in the morning. And I'm like, tell Dr. Crusher I have a bellyache and stuff like that. So I was just messing, just like, I'm a big owie. And she's like, piss off. So just again having fun with these people, but yeah, about 10 o'clock, half ten. It used to have the VIPs. Now it's gotten early access, and that's when you guys would be up setting up for all your dioramas. Yeah. You'd be all in costume as well, and most stalls should be set up the night beforehand, and so you're ready to go first thing. And then so fair play to Comic Con, they now have a thing called a quiet room. So anybody with who's like severe anxiety or autism or something like that, they just need to be away. You can go to a quiet room. Away from everything else. Most of the people there for the most time are generally just there for, it's a good party atmosphere. And it's a bit of fun. So it's Halloween basically in the middle of summer and in spring, and it's a big family event as well. So that's a good thing about it, is you see families, and if you see one family one year, next year they're all dressed up, even the babies and everything else. And
love seeing families dressed up.
It's a lot of, and I think there's one, I think her name's Butler. They've brought the family and there's a kid in a push pram, and they built the Enterprise around them.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
And they're all dressed as officers. And we've seen things like Death Stars on pregnant women. And stuff like that as well. It's great. I'm still waiting to see a power loader. Someone with a baby strapped to the front and a little power loader.
Oh, well, actually, I tell you.
I've seen some around.
There's an idea.
I've seen pictures, but I'm actually waiting to see someone walk in like that. But no, the kids are all dressed up as Spider-Man, Deadpool, Deadpool, and all their Wonder Woman. It's great. And Predators. It's great to see the creativity. And just
I love seeing kids dressed even as obscure costumes.
Yeah.
God, you wouldn't expect that. Like, there was one kid, he's done it, I think he's done the last three Comic-Cons, but he's dressed as Pennywise.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic Pennywise as well.
Like, unlike us who grew up in the day, they haven't seen these movies.
Yeah.
And they're fascinated by them. And that's a lot of things. Like the horror movies, I was growing up with my uncle showing me all bits and pieces. And my auntie, it was like, I'd be reading Fangoria and reading, to be honest, about Tom Savini and all these lads. So it was like, it's good to see that now they're out from school just to show people how to make all these things. Mm-hmm. And the kids are learning online. I'm just like, you little kids. I remember making Batman cowl out of a Norse soup box, you know, just because I had the right shape and putting cardboard in a bin liner bag to make a cape. Yeah. And now they're actually printing out their own stuff, the Batarangs, Bat albums, and full on.
My son demands, like, I don't want a maid. I want a proper costume. I'm like,
yeah.
He has more costumes than I do now.
Yeah, and anytime I do cosplay myself, it's last minute. So I've done Winter Soldier. I filled in for Aquaman at the last minute, and I basically put it together.
Which was fantastic, to say.
The Aquaman was mostly me holding my gut in, not washing my hair for 2 days, and then building it out of Penny's tracksuit and two rolls of, yoga mat.
Yoga mat, yeah.
Which I still owe my girlfriend for. But that's just put together in no time. And again, we just turned up a bit.
But the thing is, it worked. That's the thing about it. There's a creative side of it.
Like in movies, I've worked in the industry a bit. I know people work in the industry as well. There's amount of times you don't know that wall is still wet. The glue is still drying on this dress that somebody's in an action scene. And it's just, it's all illusion, but it's a finished product. Mm-hmm. So again, Comic-Con, it's the finished product, is basically a lot of people have a lot of fun. There's always going to be people griping about it. Or
yes.
Sorry, too packed, it's too full. My bed wasn't full enough. Just didn't have this toy. Where's Stan Lee? Blah, blah, blah. All of you.
I think he's dead.
No, it's the rumor.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people, he's always, again, influence is always going to be around.
Yes.
So I've gone to the stage. That's probably why I'm glad I met like Aaron Schwarzenegger and stuff like that. I love me Clint Eastwood and stuff like that. But it's just, we're into the stage where a lot of our, Leonard Nimoy was a big one for me as well. A lot of our people that we grew up with. And because of social media, and years ago, these would be just like, oh, and the other time, the guy who plays Star Trek has died. But now, because of the amount of people that grew up with Star Trek, and how Star Trek has influenced our lives, and The Simpsons as well. Mm-hmm. But Leonard Nimoy was a lot bigger, and a lot more people knew of him, and you got people talking after Star Trek and stuff like that. So the documentary, like My Name is Spock, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I love watching all those type of things, because you got to see what like behind the scenes, where they embraced it or didn't, and Shatner and all the rest of them. So they don't realize how many lives they've reached and peaked. So when they pass away, like even Jamie Lee Curtis says, Jamie Lee Curtis, star of Halloween, died. She's, even though she's done everything else, this she's just going to be known for that. And she's okay, which that's basically what it is.
She's done so much more than that.
Yeah, and that's love. Like people are saying, oh, like these days, no women. That we grew up in the 80s where women were the dominant force of horror movies and action movies. We had Ripley, we had Buffy, we had Sarah Connor. Jamie Lee Curtis, all the Friday the 13th movies and stuff. So growing up, it was just like a big, and my auntie as well, they're all big influence. Mother is just big influence on female things as well. So it's good to see we have artists and writers over here in Ireland as well. Again, getting back to the kids at Comic-Con, is when they see local artists, local writer, and go, well, if he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
Type of thing. So that's what we always try to encourage again, is like, pick up a comic, you never know what it'll lead to. Reading. Make a model, you never know, you might end up being an engineer or working Apple or something, design the next big app that saves babies or something 20-30 years time. It's fun to see where things can go. Like there's always going to be dark days and dark paths and all sorts as well. We know that from the evil mirror universe from Star Trek. Anybody with beards is evil. Scratch mine.
I always knew I was evil.
Yeah, that's once you've been able to prepare to grow a beard, you're like,
As soon as you can stroke it, that's it. Like you've made it.
Yeah, just rustle and go. I've made it. I can grow. Comic-Con is fun. I can't reiterate. It is a family event, and it's good to see the amount of creativity, like the amount of people that I don't know if it's an Irish thing, but a lot of begrudgers in this country stay at that, or think you're great doing all this sort of stuff. But look, between the 501st, the EG, those are the cosplay groups, the real icons, all the stuff, the amount of charity work they do, and the amount of charity stuff that happens at Comic-Con as well, like the guide dogs, the autism, all the cancer research and all that as well. And I think they done animal rescue 1 year as well. There's just so much thing you can do, and then it's just bring attention to other things. And then again, it's just a celebration of, I call it pop culture these days. For me, again, it just comes back to being, I'm not a geek, was somebody who bit the head off chickens. That's what I knew. Todd Browning's Freaks. And nerd was like the guy in Weird Science, the glasses and the short and all that. So that's all, when people say these words, that's what I see.
Yeah.
So when shops call themselves geek something, I'm just picturing the three lads from The Simpsons and Homer shouting, nerd, and stuff like that. Or someone biting the head off a chicken. That's just all the horror movies I watched. It's fun when you see Sloth 1 minute, Leatherface the next, walking around Comic-Con, and then you see... what you call her, Tinkerbell from all sorts, and then some people.
It's a mix. It's literally a mix of everything. Yeah. It really is.
One friend we go, we know Jules, and we see something walking around, like you have Batman and Star Wars characters going, Jesus, these are better than the movies.
Yeah. So, literally better than the movies.
Oh, the amount of cosplay I've seen walking around, go, Jesus, how are they? Latest Batman costume, you can kind of look, it's not fully finished. You haven't really seen all the good pictures. You know, CGI caping, but it's bad when the stunt player looks more like Batman than the person in Batman.
Yeah.
And then Apocalypse from the X-Men Apocalypse movie, you're like, Jesus, so much cosplayers walking around in bear suits. So, but yeah, what do we know? Actually, that's the good thing. We can actually complain about it now, because back in the 80s, all Marvel movies, DC movies were all sold. Well, Mourners had them all, but the DC stuff. But the Marvel movies were sold off to every studio, left, right, and center.
Yeah.
So today we found the Marvel Cinematic Universe is Star Wars to us, what was Star Wars back then. The kids, it's putting a good spin on kids. It's giving a bit of inspiration, a bit of hope. Some are just, it goes over a few of them. Like, we're like, you don't know how lucky you are to have this. Mm-hmm. And it says, this is brilliant. And people go, oh, I thought it was crap. All right, man, this isn't great. Go, just be glad you have this character and that you have this movie. Because we're going again, all the way back to Lucas. And then, right, you go back to Barry Harryhausen, and Colin O'Brien, all the rest. Willis O'Brien. Colin probably wishes he was the influence.
Yeah.
But, just the creativity and Leonardo da Vinci, all that sort of stuff, just throughout time and everything else, just people just inspiring others, creativity, technology advances and stuff like that. I imagine there was a time when people were reading books on the trains, people going, oh yeah, ignorant. And everybody's in their smartphones doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's just different, same thing, but different technology.
Yes.
And things like that.
You have to move on.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So last time I played video games, I think it was a PlayStation 1. I gave it to me dad. I haven't seen him since. That was back, 1997. And I was playing the G4, I think it was G Police and stuff like that. And the games weren't for me, but now I see they have the Oculus Rift and stuff like that. So when I see stuff like Batman Arkham Knight and I see Aliens, and I was like, you know what? If I could just put this headset on and be in the game, this is probably what get me back playing the game.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to jump into it in case you never see me again.
Yeah.
To me,
though, it's terrifying in that you'd be terrified by the game, but terrifying that you don't want to take it off.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
I do. And it's the whole idea, again, getting back to the whole people coming in and face to face contact. Like, we're growing up, we had Caesar's Palace and Quirky's, and we'd actually go down and play video games, and you'd be like, I've got 20 pence. This is going to last me the night, because I'm going to clear G.I. Joe twice, because I know I can clear it. And if I clear it, you get a second game. So me and my mates are just sitting there gossiping and playing. We know we've killed 40 minutes by playing this game, because we can clear it in our eyes shut. And then Nintendo came along and PlayStation. We're all sitting in each other's rooms. So when I see kids talking on headsets now, okay, it's good you're talking to other people around the world, but again, you're shouting things at people, calling them all sorts of things, and you don't know if you're saying the wrong thing to the wrong person.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, I'm coming over there to kill you and stuff like that. Some kid will take that the wrong way. You know? Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's social skills. But they'll find their own way along the way, is what's going to happen. So it's just, I fear for the children.
Yeah.
Children of the future, we've got to find a way to stop them right now. Because we've basically given them all the world, all these great characters. So it's they're to inherit.
Yes.
So it's interesting when all new writers, because what drives people off comics sometimes is a new writer, a new artist will come on, and the story will change. It's like when a new actor comes in and takes over your favourite character.
Yeah.
And sometimes the art doesn't gel, the writer doesn't gel. And it's like a lot of comics have kind of gone up and down over the years because of it. But again, you've got to give people a chance.
Yeah.
And everything else. So it's...
Well, it's kind of like the new Batman. Everyone's looking at, you know, Robert Pattinson, is he going to be any good? I always look at it and go, you give him a go.
Yes.
You know, you give everybody a go. Nobody liked the look of Jared Leto as Joker, but it was like, no, give him a go. Okay, I didn't like it afterwards, but at least I gave it a go. Like, it's like with Solo. A lot of people say, I'm not going to watch that. No, it's just going to be shite. So they boycotted it, so that's why it failed.
Yeah, we have a lot of back and forth here, because The Last Jedi, like, no matter what people, it might be a good movie, but it doesn't feel like a good Star Wars movie. But
again, it's a good action movie, I think. I don't think it's necessarily a good Star Wars movie. Yeah.
But that kind of backlash on Solo, we can get into all sorts of stuff like that back. But again, it just comes back to time. And like, the earlier on, talking to a customer, The Rocketeer. Classic movie, great movie. It's just, at the time it came out, it was vilified.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody went to see it. And I was just like, there's some, The Thing as well. There's movies we all love now. And they were like, nope, everybody wanted E.T. They didn't want The Thing back in like 82. And so, and The Thing is more remembered now than E.T. to some people. And you're just, even though I've life-size E.T. out there. That's the other thing about all this sort of stuff. I now have the stuff I wanted when I was a kid. I've life-size.
You're living your childhood dream.
Continuing on. So I'm just hoping if I decide to grow up, like, I do the other day and just like, just saying, what do you want me when I grow up? I'm like, fuck, I'm 43. I still think, what will I do when I grow up? Or when I grow taller? I'm like, no, I'm not getting any taller. When I'm bigger, I'm like, no, this is the height. In fact, I'm going to get smaller.
You're going to shrink from now.
I'm going to go horizontal as well. I've seen my future. Because again, shaved off head for charity and all sorts. So it's a lovely mop of Kurt Russell-esque hair now, but you can go Homer
yes,
Simpson.
Yes, very Kurt Russell-esque.
You can go full Homer Simpson any minute.
Please God, so, no.
That, again, just people like that. There's another guy I'd like to meet, Dan Castellette and all, and MacRae, and all, just to say, look, thanks for all the hours of entertainment and all sorts. So it's again, Comic-Con, trying to get all these people so these actors can meet, like Rob Paulsen. I've met, brilliant, very funny. Is I'm looking forward to meeting Peter Weller myself, just because RoboCop was a big influence on me. It was like, for me, it was like Frankenstein for me.
Yes,
kind of seeing it there, and like,
that's fantastic.
Most people use
it
as
like
the
that.
Christ analogy, but it's just like, no, like, at the end of the day, RoboCop. He was a man. He was taken down and he was rebuilt, and he was lost in the machine.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the humanity was still in the machine, and even in the sequels and stuff, they done things to take the man over. It just gives you hope. That,
yeah.
Like the same with people, like medical things. There's always a hope that you can get that person back. Yeah. And things. Like, so one thing that does scare me myself is dementia, as family friends and stuff like that, and other people have gone through it, and Alzheimer's. And I was like, I think it's why I've got a good memory. I'm afraid of losing it. I've got loads of great memories and great photographs and just stuff I've done. So when I get to the stage, I was like, did that happen? Or was I imagining it? Sort of thing. But I know most of the things I've done and things, but it's just getting to the stage, I was like, I look around and just recognize it. Well, at that stage, I probably won't know myself as well. But that's the one thing that people have said, what scares you the most? Because that's the biggest fear I have, is kind of dementia and stuff like deaths and all sorts of things. Like, I could walk in, truck could hit me right next door. Because I've been through a few things where, do you know the whole thing of the light flashing your face?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that on rerun a few times. So I kind of know it's there. I know it's coming. Like, bring her on. Yeah, this clip and that clip. And I know who pops up and everything else. So it's the idea of kind of fading away.
Yeah.
It's like a scratch disc or something like that as well. So that's the biggest fear I have. People say, I'd not be afraid of the shop going. It's like, yes, I would be pissed off and really hate the shop to go or something just to happen. But if it's destiny.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. So again, getting back to Star Wars is just like this. There's certain paths and there's things you can change and there's things that are always going to happen. So in a nutshell, again, it's been fun.
Yeah, there we go. Well, obviously we've got Comic-Con now. It's the 14th, 15th this
14th,
month.
15th of March.
You're going to be there. And if people can't make it to Comic-Con, how do they buy stuff from your lovely shop?
Well, come on into us. We're here in Cable Street in Dublin. Again, people didn't realize. We still get asked, what happened to your shop? I'm going, where have you been? It's been nearly 3 or 4 months now at this stage. So we still have to spiel and just we do a whole gross point blank. We went nuts, joined the army, blah, 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 went off. But no, I just tell them, look, the shop, basically what happened is the shop was sold and we didn't want to stay. So we moved everything over to here. So our full operations are now at 103-104 Cable Street. You can catch us on our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Messenger pigeon, I don't know, email and the phone number. Our Facebook is our mostly used thing as well. But
so
I like
Dublin City Comics on Facebook.
Facebook, yeah. And then we have www.dublincitycomics.ie as well. It's our new website, so it's not as loud of stuff on, but it's a sample of stuff.
Yeah.
And you can get stuff posted to you, and we do PayPal as well. So it's really accommodating, and people can pay deposits. You can't collect that in there. We do a payment plan where you can pay off PayPal online, and then when it's all paid for, we post it to you.
Lovely.
But the idea, we always try to get people to come to the shop, physically come to the shop. We've people who've gotten straight off planes and come straight to us.
Wow.
Come straight from the airport. Mm. And we're like, wow, Italy, India, Australia, and going, just now I saw your shop and wanted to come here. And then basically, like, come on, put a kettle on.
Yeah.
Put a tea. Let's go walk around the labyrinth.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah. So that's somebody, the list of people's going through, even though they were at the time, Jim Henson and the works of Bruce Lee, they're the two people I probably would like to sit down and just have a conversation with.
Yeah.
Like,
wow, what a talk that would be.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not at the same time. If they got at the same time, brilliant. And I'd love to like to have John Carpenter there and stuff like that. So just people have just been like, people have had ups and downs. Because it's not everything. Like Hollywood and all this red carpet stuff, they always show you the glamour and everything else. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And the hours of travel, sitting around in airports and all this.
Yeah.
So I'm not rich. I'm not this. I'm rich in stuff and people and friends and whatever I go on, but not financially, but I'm happy is the way it is. So the idea is people are like, don't try to be like me. Try to be like yourself, but balance. So you can't be, there'll be times where you can do more work than things, but always try and balance out with a bit of fun. So for all the seriousness, have a bit of fun, but trying to keep a good 50, 60, 40 mix around is the way to do it as well. So here I am, Life Guru messages as well. Yeah. So it only cost you a dollar, don't worry.
There you go. Well, obviously, we're going to see you now in a couple of weeks at Comic Con. But until then, Jay, thank you very much for the little chat.
I was never here. Yeah, you know, you're talking about him out in the front.
He's working very, very hard.
I'm actually probably on my phone right now, probably just conducting a sale or doing something anyway. But people like yourself, Jerry, as well, go and do podcasts as well. So, like, you know, people have an interest. You took a chance and you're going doing interviews, talking to people, different things, different ways of life. Mm-hmm. And you're just getting to meet different sides of things. So that's one thing I was grateful for the shop over the years as well. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Power Rangers is not my thing.
No.
But I'm not going to shit on people for I did years ago.
I'm
not going to shit on them for now.
Arsehole.
Yeah, like, there's a Power Rangers Turtle comic. And I get every Turtle comic said, look, Power Rangers not for me. I'm not going to get it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I could see people grew up with them. Because for me, they killed the Turtles. I was still in the Turtles at the time. And people forgot about the Turtles because Power Rangers came along. But that's just a different thing. But like I see, they've been gone 25 years. If something's been 25 years or longer and people still remember it, that's good enough for me, and it's made them happy. And the fact I'm still making stuff now, from Ghostbusters is here, I just want Alf back. That's all I want.
A little bit of Alf, that would be great. Absolutely fine. But DJ, listen, thanks very much for the chat, and we'll see you at Comic Con.
No problem, Jerry. I'm sorry this is a three-parter now.
Thanks very much. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed doing it. I tell you, absolutely loved doing that. Such a fascinating conversation. Just a fascinating man, Jason is, and he is a hell of a guy. He really, really is. And as I said, he's a teacher, a mentor. You know, anybody, I would encourage any young person that if you're nerdy or you're into certain things that maybe other people aren't into, head into Dublin City Comics, have a little chat with Jason, and he'll put your mind at ease. Just everyone that goes in, they just have a great time when they go in there. And I have seen other people, when they've gone in, you know, they've been shy, nervous and whatnot. But after a couple of visits, it's like going to your family home. It's like seeing family. And that's what the community is like there. And that's what the team are like there. It's not just Jason, but the entire team there are absolutely amazing. I cannot praise them enough. I really, really can't. And of course, you can see them this weekend down at the convention centre at Dublin Comic Con. I keep saying Dublin City Comic Con. Dublin Comic Con is this weekend, and the guys are going to be there all weekend, and they always have a fantastic display. So if there's any nerdy need that you may have this weekend, head on down Dublin Comic Con. You'll see Dublin City Comics there. You'll see Jason and Doc and all the other guys there. They'll have a full team on, and you're going to enjoy yourself. I know I will. Now, I'll be doing a panel at Dublin City Comic. I keep saying Dublin City Comic Con. God knows why. Dublin Comic Con. Myself and the ever-popular Blabba, the Hutt. Plo Koon is my friend that is the host on Blabba the Hutt podcast. We're both going to be discussing Star Wars and the future of the Force is the name of the panel that we're going to be doing on Saturday. I believe it's either 1 to 2 or 2 to 3 on the Saturday afternoon. You'll find us in one of the panel rooms, and we're going to have a fantastic chat about Star Wars and where we go now that the main Skywalker saga has ended. We're going to be talking about anything from the Skywalker saga itself to television shows, comics, books, TV shows, and where exactly Star Wars goes from then. So we're going to have a fantastic time. This is my favourite weekend of the year. This one on the August weekend of Dublin Comic Con. Absolutely love it. I hope to see as many of you as possible there. If you see me at the convention, please don't hesitate to call over and have a little chat. And I hope to see many of you at the panel itself. Generally, I'm not nervous about getting up in front of people and talking. I used to be, and then wrestling really helped me deal with that issue. And then I was able to get up in front of over 2,000 people at the National Stadium. So I think that that's certainly going to help me. But this is a different beast altogether. I hope to not be quite as nervous as I'm feeling right now, because believe me, I am. It'll be interesting to see exactly how it goes. And by all means, ladies and gentlemen, get your questions in. If you have questions that you would like to ask us, and myself or Plo Koon on the panel, please send them on. Jerry_Soul is the handle on both Twitter and Instagram. So you can find me there. Send me a DM or comment on any of the posts there. And I'm sure we'll be able to fit you in on the day, on the Saturday. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, I hope to see as many of you as possible at the Dublin Comic Con this weekend. And fingers crossed, touch wood, there's no major outbreaks in Dublin for the old Budweiser virus. And fingers crossed, I'll see you all there. But until then, I've been Jerry. You've been Nerdy. Thank you. Good luck. And goodbye.